All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn. What's up?
What's up? Oh, man. Whew. Are you still on an Avengers high?
I am.
I'll tell you what, me too.
Yeah.
Nothing really compares.
Well,
anymore.
I'm looking ahead to my week,
uh-huh.
And I'm pretty much planning my week around when I'm going to see it again.
Oh, this will be your second time, right?
This will be time number two, and I feel like a little left out because I know all the cool kids have already seen it at least twice, and they're planning their third go-round.
Oh.
But I'm, like, anxious. I'm still, like, I watched Long Shot this week, as we'll talk about in a few minutes,
right.
And that was great. I loved it. We'll get into it later. But I'm, like, I'm ready to. I'm anxious.
I had a little bit of. So I know you're not keeping track of Game of Thrones,
right.
And I'm not going to spoil anything. But people are going off the rails about this show, and I was just so emotionally exhausted from two viewings of Avengers. I walked away like, meh, and then everyone's blowing up, and I was like, is there something wrong with me on the inside? I can't tell.
You spent all your emotional energy on the Avengers.
That's it. That's
which I think I is the appropriate move. I think that's where it shows that your priorities are in the right place.
So true.
I'm just saying.
Speaking of priorities,
yes.
Lots of news this week.
Wow.
It was definitely a week. Look, Hobbs and Shaw.
Yes, which I'm so still psyched.
I know. Yeah. Me too. I am so beefed up for this movie. Keanu Reeves is going to be in it, which doesn't hurt it at all for me. It just makes it even better. And here's the thing. They're saying that he might be setting up like a franchise villain. So like maybe it's kind of a small role in this one, building up to like a bigger villain in the next one or two down the road, or like the guy behind the curtain type. Blofeld type thing.
That's one of those questions where, like, whatever the answer is, it's correct.
It's awesome.
It's great. I'm not a huge Keanu Reeves fan. I've struggled with some of his titles in the past, but I have to say I have recently come back to him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like he went through a period. I don't know what the problem was. Maybe he was picking bad movies, or maybe he was trying to take himself too seriously. But
right.
I'm all in on him. I think he's going to be great. I can't wait.
I'm right there with you. I was kind of off board for a long time. And here's the funny thing. I feel like he's found his acting niche in acting as little as possible.
Right.
Like the less that he says, the more gravitas his characters seem to carry. So
is he the modern day Clint Eastwood?
Ooh.
Podcast at penncinema.com.
Let us know, please. That I mean, I'm almost inclined to say yeah in some ways. Yeah.
I mean, when you say less is more from an actor point of view, you immediately – I mean, who else are you thinking of besides Clint Eastwood?
Yeah.
Write me and tell me who I'm forgetting.
Right. I mean, he barely says anything in The Man with No Name quadrilogy or whatever, right?
Yeah, so, very few lines.
Yeah.
Although he has some great lines in The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. Some of the all-time best movie lines
such
ever, like when he says, our partnership has become untied. And then the ugly guy holds up his hands like as if he was going to be untied, and Clint Eastwood says, oh, no, you remain tied. I'll keep the money. You can have the rope. It's one of the best, most badass lines in the history of the movies.
what a great character. I'm all for that now. Along those lines of amazing build-up villains.
Yes.
James Gunn's The Suicide Squad, which keeps getting wackier and wackier, has cast, I'm going to try and pronounce his name. First part's going to be easy. David,
what the hell kind of a name is that?
Dost Malashian. Dost Malashian. He's one of the guys in the Ant-Man.
Let me take a crack at it.
Okay.
Dost Malashian.
But you didn't say the L. Is the L silent?
Das Malshian.
Das Malshian.
Yeah, you can just sort of like.
Das Malshian?
Das Malshian. It sounds like something you're ordering at Chinese dinner. Like,
excuse me? Dasmashian?
I didn't get my dasmashian. I got the egg roll and the lo mein and the general tsao. I didn't get the dasmashian. You forgot my dasmashian.
Oh, man. We are the worst people ever. So anyway, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Anyway, David.
Yeah, David.
David. We'll just call him David.
Apparently he's in Dune. I didn't realize that, but who's not at this point?
Oh, my God.
He's set to play the Polka Dot Man in Suicide Squad.
What do we know about the Polka Dot Man?
I don't know. I don't know. Because in my mind, I always think of the quilt guy, the famous guy that attacked Batman with different colored quilts.
Mm.
So I don't know what the Polka Dot guy is.
Mm.
But apparently he's a big enough villain for the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
So, great. Question mark?
I feel bad that I didn't do my homework, but I'm going to go and I'll post it on the podcast Facebook page.
Okay.
I'm going to go look up who he was in Ant-Man. Do you know who he
was? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, sorry. I don't know. Yeah. I need to look it up.
He's one of the two criminal buddies that they start the business with. He's the Russian one.
Oh, all right.
Or Eastern European one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense with that last name now that you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, take us on to this next little tidbit here.
Fantastic Beasts franchise, yeah.
Yeah.
Set for release in November of 21. Is that a red flag? Or?
Well, they're always in November.
Right.
Right, but it's a couple years away.
Right.
More than you would have thought.
Well, do we know, was this originally set for November of 20?
I don't know if it was originally set for anything.
Oh, okay.
After the last one kind of flopped hardcore, they kind of dipped away for a little bit.
Did it flop hardcore? Was there... I remember that it did not meet expectations, but are we calling it a flop?
Okay, maybe financially not a flop, but I feel like, as a fan, it done me wrong.
Ooh, wow. And as a theater owner, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, you're like, what else?
It's all right. We good. Come on back.
You did come see it, so I don't care.
No, I'd laugh, but only just to be funny, because the truth is, obviously, I want it to be good, because then nobody's going to come back for the third one if the second one is no good.
Right.
So, and obviously, above all else, I'm a movie guy, but I did not remember people disliking this. Like,
really?
Yeah. Critics. Wow. Are you saying critics or are you saying regular people?
Regular people.
Regular people did not like this. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I must have had something going on, like in my personal life. I must have been distracted when this came out. But yeah, so it's...
It was around my birthday, so it's a pretty distracting time for you.
Probably busy shopping.
Yeah, you know, that's what it was.
Lining up a couple surprise parties.
Clearly.
Flying in David Dasmashian for the, you know...
Just another David.
Right. Duchovny came to the second party. Hasselhoff came to the third party.
So it's understandable.
Spade came to the fourth party.
Wow.
Byrne came to the fifth.
There's too many Davids out there. Did you get the Duchovny?
I did. That was the second party.
Second one.
There's no such thing as too many Davids.
Well, there's definitely no such thing as too much me.
Pirate Dave came to the sixth one.
What?
I don't think I've ever met a... I don't think I've ever met a David I didn't like.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me, you don't meet a lot of pens in this wide world.
Right. I've met two.
Okay. Now, when you met them, was it like a Highlander type...
Yes.
Type experience.
Yes. It was very strange. It really was. Honest to God, it was really weird. The first one was weird because it was Penn Jillette, the famous comedian.
Oh, okay.
My parents took me to see him in New York City, and somehow somebody got word back to him. He was big enough that we knew about him in Brooklyn, but not big enough that you couldn't get to him. So somebody got word to him that there was a kid in the audience named Penn. And he came out and signed a bunch of posters for me, and we met. And I mean, I'm not trying to say that I know Penn Jillette. I'm saying, you know, he was very nice to me as a random fan who happened to have the same unusual first name.
Right.
So that was the first time I ever met somebody named Penn. Second time was years later, like recently, like while the theater was open, so probably 4 or 5 years ago. And I think the guy is a lawyer in Lancaster County.
Whoa.
And that was the one, because now I'm an adult, so it wasn't like just being starstruck. And this lady introduced us, and she was like, Penn, this is Penn. and Penn, this is Penn. Penn, Penn. We just stood there staring at each other for a minute, like, whoa. It was weird. I was not prepared for how weird it would be.
He didn't send you a cease and desist later.
Not just yet. So anyway, moving on from David and Penn to Daniela.
Ooh.
Why are we splitting up the Suicide Squad news? We should have...
I probably put these on here on different days.
All right.
Yeah.
So Daniela Melchior? Melchior?
Nope. Melchior would...
Melchior.
I think it's Melchior.
Go with that.
Yeah.
Okay. She joined the cast of Suicide Squad as the female incarnation of the sewer-dwelling Batman villain Ratcatcher.
I don't know this one either. Here's the thing. We're putting them down... Like, they're releasing this info as, like, the villain so-and-so. But, like, the Suicide Squad is made up of villains.
Right.
So I don't know if that means...
Is it a good villain?
Yeah, it's a good villain or a bad villain. So...
In Suicide Squad, is the real villain like Superman?
Well, that's the whole thing. The squad was made to take down Superman. And then when you really think of it, you're like, okay, you've got like three people that are just like people.
Right.
One guy looks like a crocodile.
Right. One guy's got a really good shot.
Yeah. One guy turns into fire. Like, they don't stand a chance against Superman.
Jeez.
Batman could take them all out. So, yeah.
I do like the name, the villain name, Ratcatcher.
Ratcatcher. Do you think she's going to command rats or something?
No, I think it's like Catwoman.
Oh.
You know, I don't know if she commands cats or if she just wears a ratty old sweater and they call her Ratcatcher.
Or maybe her primary weapon is like one of those like dog catcher like nets on a long pole type thing.
Could be.
Could be. I mean, who knows?
All right.
On to a better version
Thank
of this
you,
type thing.
Thank you, finally.
The third Guardians of the Galaxy movie is now planned for a 2020 shoot, which is great because I thought that this amazing Suicide Squad was going to push it back way further. Than that.
What?
Because James Gunn's doing both.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So and he's doing Suicide Squad first. I thought it was going to be Danger Zone. Watch yourself.
You know what I like about this piece of news?
What's that?
I like the fact that if they're not even starting shooting for a year, they're going to let the dust settle on Avengers. It leaves them all kinds of options. Mm. What's Thor's role going to be in the third Guardians of the Galaxy? He's got to have some kind of role.
Yeah.
I mean, him and that gang is just too perfect.
Spoilers!
It's just too perfect.
Yeah.
You know? No, I don't think there's any spoilers. It's not the first time Thor and Guardians of the Galaxy have been...
Fair
I
enough.
Mean, you saw Infinity War, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I did see Infinity War. I didn't skip over
but
one.
Have you seen it in the last 5 minutes?
No. Okay, good point.
Did you see it today, David?
No, I'm sorry.
You suck. I thought you were a fan.
I need to devote more time.
I take back what I said about your priorities.
last week, we talked about what might become the movie of a generation. Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonic the Hedgehog. Which, I have to tell you, let's go right into trailers, and we'll mix this news right into the trailers.
Right.
So the first trailer that we're going to review is the Sonic the Hedgehog trailer, which I thought was amazing. I rewatched it. Like, you know how sometimes I complain that, like, I don't have minutes. We only have so many minutes, and I don't want to waste minutes watching dumb trailers. I watched this trailer at least two or three times. I immediately posted it everywhere. I sent a link to some friends. Like, I was all on board. I tagged my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, my wife, because we used to play this movie. We used to play this game forever, like hours on end. There was a period before Amy and I got married. Actually, there was also a period after we got married, but that's a whole other story. There was a period where we all lived in her parents' house in Mannheim.
Okay.
Like, I'm talking... The nuclear family, boyfriends, grandma, fiancés, like the whole gang. There was like, I don't know how many people were living there, but it was awesome. It was like the days, right? It was good stuff. And during this time period, we would play, we had, what was it, on Sega or something?
Mm-hmm.
And we just played this game forever, especially me and Jesse, like just loved this game. And when this trailer came out, I got all excited. And so I consider myself like a valid fan. Like I'm qualified to have an opinion about this movie. And I thought the trailer was perfect. I thought the Sonic the Hedgehog looked perfect to me. Like when they're playing gangster, when they're playing in the trailer, the opening, like, you know how they sort of start in the background with Gangster's Paradise and yeah. Sonic is like stretching before his run. I even shared this video with my triathlon group. I was like, here's a unseen footage of Coach Andrew warming up before his race. You know? I thought it was awesome. I thought it looked great. And then as you're about to report in our news segment, there was some huge backlash.
Yeah.
Somebody who, what grown-ass man or woman has some kind of an opinion about Sonic the Hedgehog's legs?
What?
Give me a break. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard what? In my life.
How is this Sonic the Hedgehog to you? I don't... It's not even a Disney movie, so I don't know what your blinders are on so hard. Episode 15, the one when it ended. Oh my gosh. What? I just listened to you talk for 2 minutes about how much you love this trailer.
Right. And you hated the trailer.
I mean, I didn't. I mean, yeah.
Really?
Well, it's just, it's like, hashtag not my Sonic. I don't know. Like,
what?
Have you seen the people who were like, I made it better and they redesigned, like, they made him look more like Sonic, other than like a kid in a jumpsuit? Have you seen those photos?
No, I have not.
I'm going to show you. I'm showing you those photos right now.
Okay. I don't understand what the problem is. I have to say, this is one where I am out of step with the popular opinion. Now, I will qualify this. I will contradict myself, as I enjoy doing, by saying that, you know what makes me nervous about this whole freaking thing is that this is the studio that brought us the quality franchise, one of the most disappointing franchises of all time.
What's that?
Disappointing because the first one was amazing. And everything after it has sucked. Transformers.
Oh.
Paramount to Transformers. Now, I want them to enjoy this, but I mean, I want them to succeed with Sonic, but I don't see which one's the before and which one's the after.
On the left, see, this is the problem. The left is before. That's the movie. That's what's in the movie.
Okay.
And that's what he should look like.
Oh my God. All right. Okay. All right.
You see how different that is?
I do. And now that you point it out, I see the difference. And I would agree the after one where Sonic is shorter and has little skinny legs and his head is proportionately larger.
And he's got a belly.
A little belly.
He's got
much
a body.
Like myself.
And you're an Iron Man.
And I am an Iron Man. Yeah. Okay. I mean, fine. Fine.
Now, okay. Now, all right. I'll say this. Dr. Robotnik, cast as Jim Carrey,
yes.
I'm totally on board with.
Did you like the trailer except for Sonic's body?
I liked the Dr. Robotnik stuff because it seemed over the top. And it was, I mean, this is a movie for children, and it looked appropriately ridiculous enough for children. So I can't knock it on that whatsoever. But the whole Sonic thing, like, and the fact that they alluded that he's an alien... that's the part where I was like, wait a minute, hold on. Sonic the Hedgehog is
a hedgehog,
an alien. I mean, it's okay. I know in the comics it's on another planet too, so I used to read the comics when I was a kid / yesterday.
Pause for awkward giggling.
Yeah. So,
all right.
I had problems with it.
Okay.
I mean, I've been wronged by Sonic before.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, somehow
I've been wronged by Paramount before.
I'll survive this one. I survived how many Transformers?
There's
movies?
A really interesting development to this.
Oh, yeah.
It's the fact that the studio appears to be receptive to this feedback.
Yeah, that was the news part. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, they're gonna switch. They vowed to change it.
Yeah.
Which brings to question, they think this movie is worth enough for the million so dollars they're going to invest in changing the main character's look in it?
Is it millions of dollars?
Oh, man. It's got to be. They got to pay animators to go through scene by scene and redo, unless they've got a saved file, like right before they finished it. Like, oh, just click here.
I agree it's millions, but it's probably not 10 million.
No,
it's probably not 40 million.
It's probably like 1.5 or something. You know?
Nothing.
Yeah, no big deal.
The big shots like us, that's no big deal. But you're looking at it from a financial point of view. I'm also looking at it from a confidence point of view. Mm-hmm. Like, in other words, on the one hand, I see it as really great that they're receptive to what the fans are saying and they're responsive, and that's really impressive. On the other hand, like, it makes you a little tiny bit nervous that they're not committed to what they put forth as their art.
Right.
You know, as their...
Right. I mean, they were confident enough to release two racist robots in Transformers 2, but they're not confident enough to do this.
Well, and the other thing is, doesn't Sonic open pretty soon? I mean, I think it's in 2019.
Yeah, it's this year.
Yeah, it's this year. It's not like it's a 2020 release. Like, so no. they got to be hustling.
Well, if they have that save file, it's just a couple hours of computing.
That's awesome.
All right. Well, before we get too far into trailers, let's hit on some more somber.
Last piece of news.
Yeah. This week we lost Peter Mayhew, a.k.a. Chewbacca.
There you go. That's better.
Yeah. A legend in himself. Sad. But yeah. Some really touching art this week. I don't know. I know you were kind of incognito the last couple days. But some people did some really... really sweet memorial.
I feel like
things.
Yeah, that's really. I saw glimpses of that. You're right. I was kind of offline for the last couple of days, but I feel like, is there a cast of Star Wars that never fully got their due? Like, outside of Comic-Con and outside of like real Star Wars fans, a lot of people have no idea who he is. Like,
right.
He's in the Chewie suit, you know, C-3PO is in the C-3PO suit, like Darth Vader. Like, there's a whole bunch of actors who played some of the most iconic roles of all time who people outside of our little world would have no clue who they are.
Right. Yeah, I don't think people would know. I mean, I don't know what else he's done outside of Chewie.
In some ways, that's a little bit tragic, but in some ways, it's kind of beautiful. You know, because they, you know, just put forth these incredible performances.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was sorry to hear of his passing.
Yeah. Yeah. We're down to three left.
Mark Hamill.
And Harrison Ford. And Billy Dee Williams.
Is that it?
Count Billy Dee? Or do you only go
first? Of course you do.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Oh,
you count Billy Dee.
I guess, what's his name? Plays C-3PO.
What is his name, David?
Alan...
Thick?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Little known fact. Podcast at PennCinema.com. Alan Thick was the original C-3PO.
Alex Trebek.
Alex Trebek.
What's his name? Shoot, I know it when they say it, but whatevs. And,
all right.
And what's his name? Who played Vader's voice is still around.
And, of course, George Lucas is still around. Steven Spielberg
heart,
is still around.
Yeah.
Not in your heart. Oh, snap! It's going to be a long year for you.
What did I say online? They said Rian Johnson did more damage to the Star Wars franchise than all the prequels could buy.
Oh, my God. What a drama queen.
I know. I was trying to get a rise. Didn't work too well. All right. Well, back to the trailers and some great things. Booksmart. We've been raving about this movie. Now, I just saw the long shot right before here, and Booksmart Trailer 3 was playing before that, and still great. Some new scenes that they hadn't seen before, absolutely hilarious. I have not seen a scene in this movie that it hasn't made me want to watch it.
I completely agree. Yeah. On the topic of like trailer making as an art, I think the first trailer for Booksmart was better than the third trailer.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm still 100% excited to see this movie. I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a long shot with some friends on Thursday night, and I hope that the same gang gets together for Booksmart, because it's just I'm just so excited for it. I think it's going to be one of the funniest movies of the year.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be a big hit for the actors, however we're defining them now. And Olivia Wilde, I think this is going to like. I mean, she's already great, but I think this is her directorial debut, and I think it's going to be a hit for her.
You know what's interesting? I'm trying to sort of understand everybody else's worldview. I said to a friend of mine, mm-hmm. good friend of mine, you know, probably has similar life experience, mm-hmm. same age as me, and I said, it's like Superbad. And he goes, what's Superbad? What? Is Superbad not in a famous movie? I mean, isn't that a... I thought that was one of the... I thought Superbad was the kind of movie that everybody had seen. Like, at some point. Maybe you saw it in the theater, maybe you didn't. But at some point, you know that Superbad is one of the funniest movies.
It's one of those movies that, like, when it came out, if you were going to the movies when it came out, you saw it, if you like comedy, and you laughed. But I don't feel like it made... Okay. A lasting impression. Like, I know a lot of people who have never heard of it, or or even if they did hear of it, they didn't see it, or I probably couldn't convince them to watch it.
That's awful.
Yeah,
you shouldn't be friends with those people.
Yeah, rip my friends. I'm sorry.
Rip my friends. Okay, so we're teaching me that Superbad is not the iconic film I thought it was. So when we build up Booksmart, when it starts to come out soon, I'm not going to refer to it. I'm not going to refer to Superbad.
Yeah, there's got to be another, like, what was some other movies that came out around that time that I feel are going to have a similar vibe, like Knocked Up or...
Zombieland.
Yeah, maybe Zombieland. I'm thinking more like buddy comedy. I don't know. Like, 40-Year-Old Virgin's too early, but I feel it's going to be similar.
There's only one movie that... lines up with this movie, and that's Superbad.
Superbad.
Yeah.
Two high school peeps
doing
their thing. Yeah. You're really right. You're right. You're totally right.
And I don't mean that. What it is not, it's not Superbad with girls.
No.
I mean, it's not that. But I'm just saying it has that flavor. Those characters are very reminiscent of the Superbad characters.
Yeah.
I skipped the Booksmart screening this week.
Whoa.
Yeah. I had a dream day lined up on Wednesday. I was going to drive down to Manayunk and see the 10 a.m. John Wick 3.
Oh, what?
And then walk down the street and get a sandwich at one of my favorite sandwich shops in Manayunk. And then walk back to the theater and see Booksmart at 2.
Whoa.
I was unable to attend. I had too much. I had grown-up shit to do. Oh, my God. Bothers the hell out of me when that happens. I hate that.
What is your life, man? like reevaluate, right. Please.
Right, who's who with the bad priorities here?
Yeah, I mean, come on, get off
pot
my case.
Meet the kettle. Kettle meet the pot. But I took some solace in missing both of those titles. I took some comfort in the fact that I look forward to seeing both of them with people.
Yeah.
You know, so that'll
that's a new thing for you.
Yeah, I'm digging
it. With people.
I'm digging it.
Oh, man. And... I mean, we're going to watch them for the show, so...
Right.
I mean, we'll get there. So, all right. So, probably your favorite trailer of the week.
Wait, are we going to have a Booksmart podcast party?
Oh, my gosh.
What? What just happened here?
Should we have a Booksmart podcast?
I think we should.
At pensinema.com. Yeah. Will you come to a Booksmart podcast party?
And when we say, will you come, we mean, will you buy a ticket to see the movie?
Yeah. We'll throw the party. Right. You come.
We're not announcing anything because I need to look at the calendar, make sure I'm in town and everything like that. But I do think that's a cool idea. And if we don't do it for Booksmart, we should do it for something else because that's fun.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
All right. So you were trying to segue into the best trailer of...
Your favorite trailer.
My favorite trailer of all time. The porno movie called Winter Skin.
First off, it's not a porno
movie. Stop the train.
Penn had not watched this trailer before we sat down. I said, hold up. You gotta watch this trailer. It's so bad.
It's so bad. He didn't. This is how David rolls, just in case you don't know. It's not you gotta watch this trailer because it's so great. It's you gotta watch the trailer because it's so bad. And by God, he was right. This trailer is awful.
It's so bad. It's like a play. Like, the acting is so horrible.
I think that's an insult to theater. I think, and I wouldn't even say it's like a high school play, because that's an insult to high school kids. It's like an elementary school play.
At one point, so I was watching it over his shoulder at his desk, and at one point they're sitting next to a fire, and I'm like, the lighting effect is like they just had a cop car sitting outside, and the lights were flicking from red to blue through the window, and that was the fire effect.
Well, let's back up.
Okay.
The name of the movie is Winter Skin.
Right.
One word.
One word.
And it's what, a zombie movie?
Who knows?
Of some sort.
So a guy and then some other guy are walking through the woods and they get separated. And the one guy finds a cabin and he knocks on the door and he gets shot through the door into his leg. Oh, it looks like it's his groin, but it's his leg.
Turns out to be his leg.
Yeah. And then he wakes up inside and an old lady's like, oh, you'll heal. You'll be fine. It'll take you a couple weeks.
At which point I say to David, oh, this is Misery. This is like somebody's ripping off Misery.
Right. And the lady's, and then the lady's like, let me tell you why I shot you. Because there's bad things outside. So rather than just not let him in, she shot
him. Right.
And then brought him in.
As crazy old ladies are prone to do.
Right. And then of course, it comes up on screen, a mixture of Crazy Eight and Misery.
No, Hateful Eight.
Hateful Eight.
Hateful Eight.
Hateful Eight and Misery. So,
which I think is a huge insult to both of those titles.
I know. Yeah, seriously. Who gave that quote? Right. But it looks so bad. And then some skinless creature tries to break in the house.
Was it a skinless creature or was it like a zombie?
I thought it was a skinless creature.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now that you say that, I think you're right.
I feel like there's something, because she keeps talking about there's something outside.
And at some point, she throws somebody in the basement?
Yeah, the guy. That
and
she
the father is stapled to a tree or something?
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
This movie looks horrible.
Listen, there's not enough minutes. You know, I have a problem with minutes. I don't like to waste my minutes.
Yeah, and I wasted three of them for you.
Right. But if you feel like you want to just annoy yourself because you're tired of watching quality film.
Watch the 3-minute trailer. Joe Blow has it posted in the comments below. It had me just cracking up. Just people like, what?
JoeBlow.com.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
I just on the off chance, I think if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably aware of this website, JoeBlow.com. This is one of my favorite websites. I've been a fan of this website since right before we opened the theater, when I was really trying to learn more about the business and spend a lot more time online, mm-hmm. which, by the way, is also around the time when online, you know, was starting to be a thing. Mm-hmm. So Joe Blow has been around a long time. He has, or I don't even know if it's he, they have really great, like, sort of every man, every person type of insights, and they always have amusing stuff on there, and they never fail to disappoint. I think they're the Mad Magazine of movie websites.
I would go with that.
And anyone who knows me knows that I mean that as a high praise.
Mad Magazine.
I love Mad Magazine.
Love Mad Magazine.
Right behind your shoulder is a collection of my old Mad Magazines.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep, right here in the office.
Anyone could just pick them up and read them.
Yeah, you
bet. Wow, that's crazy. Well, there was a movie you didn't watch a trailer of that I think looks kind of interesting called Ophelia, which is a twist on Macbeth. And it's more focused on Ophelia and what it was like to be her. So I thought it looked pretty cool. The costumes look great. Whether or not it's going to be good or not, hard to say, because sometimes those period pieces, they kind of all feel the same at first. It's hard to really tell.
Do you have a star? Does somebody star in it?
I've forgotten already.
I like period pieces with like Keira Knightley. Like, like, I feel like Natalie Portman would be great in a period piece.
I know they have, like, there's some famous paintings of like Ophelia, of like her like laying in the pond.
Yeah.
And like they recreate that pretty cool visually in the movie. So. It looked interesting to me, so if you're into Shakespeare or anything like that, check out Ophelia. Why don't you take us from here?
Oh, man. I can't.
You can't.
I can't. The next movie on our trailer list is an amazing, was I thought, a really great trailer. But it's the kind of trailer, like, just the trailer itself for the movie called Crawl, like a baby crawls. The movie, the trailer for Crawl is scary as hell. I mean, it looks bad.
I didn't know where you were going. No. I'm thrown off from Sonic. I don't know what to expect with you anymore.
I mean, are we saying it's in the ballpark of like Sharknado?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. It is directed by Sam Raimi.
Right. So,
and so he does these kind of throwaway like movies. Yeah. And they're good because they're like, they take their hokiness to another level that just, I don't know, transcends. But it's basically like you've got your Anacondas, you've got your Sharknados. Yeah. It's like, what's the one thing we've been forgetting about?
Alligators, my friends.
Here they come. And it's just like being hunted by these alligators. And there's even the scene where she finds eggs and she's like, oh, shit.
Oh, my God. Eggs.
They're breeding. I just love the part where it's flooding so much outside. Because they're in some place and it's flooding.
Right. Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
And the water is higher than the windows. And then it bursts through the front window of the house. And I was like, wow, this is definitely a thing.
Here's my thing. I'm not going to because I only have so many minutes. But how many times in one trailer? I want to go. I'm probably going to do this. How many times in that one trailer does she actually get eaten by the alligator?
It does look like she gets chomped a bunch of times.
A bunch of times.
Yeah.
Pretty seriously, too. I mean, one's an arm. It looks like she loses the arm. But at least twice, she's in the alligator's mouth. Like, her torso is chomped.
I wonder if those would be, like, bad dreams or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Flashbacks.
Just imagining what will happen when it comes in. It looks ridiculous. But in a fun,
it looks
in
ridiculous.
A fun way.
I can't wait to see it.
Here's an interesting one. Blinded by the Light. And I kind of love the theme for this movie. You didn't watch this one.
Right.
But I kind of hate the movie at the same time. It's about an Indian guy, I think in England, who discovers the Boss and Bruce Springsteen. And his music.
I thought you meant Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, he discovers Melissa McCarthy. It changes his life.
Like forever. Now that's a movie I would watch.
But it's like he's living this kind of like bland life and he's not popular with girls. And then he discovers Bruce Springsteen and his lyrics. It's really heavy on like how the lyrics inspire him as a coming of age thing.
Yeah.
And I was on board with it up until the point of the trailer where there's several scenes where he's just listening to Bruce Springsteen and the words of like the lyrics are showing up on the buildings and stuff behind him. And it felt like the most cheesy YouTube music video. And I was like, I don't know how I feel about this anymore.
I don't know how this works. Maybe you do. Do you think Bruce had to approve all that?
He definitely got paid for it.
He definitely got paid for it. Yeah.
So I don't know.
It sounds unlike him, although I don't know.
And then, so it's not like it's not current time. It's when from when he was big and
from when he was big.
Well, I mean, you know, like when he was up and coming.
It's in the '80s.
Yeah, because the other people in the movie don't know who Bruce Springsteen is, so he's like kind of just one of the few people in his town that are fans of Bruce Springsteen. And then he goes to America, and they're like, "What are you coming here?" And he's like, "I'm here to see Bruce Springsteen." And the guy's like, "I can't think of any reason anyone should come to the States to see the Boss." Like, stamps his thing. I like the idea. I don't know if I like it enough to watch the movie.
So I think it's interesting. We have Bruce Springsteen and the Beatles, two movies, you know, with sort of very creative takes. I think the Yesterday trailer looks amazing and makes me really want to see the movie.
Right. And the funny thing is I would say I'm more of a Bruce Springsteen fan than I am a Beatles fan.
Right.
And it's just like the movies do the opposite things for me. Weirdly enough.
Yeah.
So.
Late Night is the name of the movie. Late Night trailer number two.
Yeah.
I don't know where I stand on this movie. Like, I giggle, I chuckle, I smirk, but I don't LOL. You know what I mean?
Like, LOL.
I didn't LOL.
I get a smirk, but that's about it.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know, man. This one's tough because it's funny. But at the same time, I feel like there's going to be a lot of this movie that's not funny. I don't know how else to say that. And having now watched two trailers for it, there are scenes where the first time I saw them, I was like, huh. And then the second time I saw them, it was the same scene, different punchline, to which makes me think, is this one of those movies where they just like...
I hate that.
They just like redid the jokes over and over and over again until they found one that worked.
Right.
And then, so...
I gotta say, part of my problem, and this is gonna sound disrespectful, but I certainly don't mean it that way. I don't love Emma Thompson.
Honestly, John Lithgow as her husband in the trailers.
Come on.
Like, that's my favorite part.
Okay.
I don't know. He's just like, I thought you knew you were bad.
I'm going to a theater conference, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday.
Okay.
And I'm going to see this movie because I have to be at the conference and all these people are there with me and we're all right. watching it. It's a big crowd.
In suits and ties.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, obviously not. I don't wear a suit or a tie unless you're getting married or buried.
Or it's the James Bond premiere.
Or the James Bond premiere, yes. So I'll let you know what I think of it, but I'm cool to this. Like, I have an open mind.
Yeah.
Mindy Kaling, that's her name, right?
Yeah.
I like her a lot.
I do too.
And that's the only thing that's giving me some credence, some confidence in this movie.
Here's the other thing. It's an Amazon movie.
I didn't want to bring that up.
Because it's your thing. I almost didn't put this on here except for at the end of the trailer in big words it says, only in theaters.
Well, right. And Amazon is working overtime to kiss and make up with the theater exhibition industry.
Yeah.
They're working overtime. They want to be taken seriously. The studio reached out to me hardcore trying to get this movie booked, which we did book it. We're playing it. Because my very first question was, when is it available on Amazon? I got Amazon Prime. When am I going to be able to see this movie at home? And I was assured it would be a 90-day window. So we'll see.
90-day?
Yeah.
Wow.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, I don't book that shit again.
Well, Penn, it was week two of Avengers. We also saw, the long shot come out. What was the weekend like here? I know you were gone for a portion of it.
Yeah, I took the weekend off, but I think the interesting news is nationally. I mean, long shot did really well, whatever. But nationally, the question on everybody's mind was, obviously, Avengers is Avengers. How big is the second week going to be?
Right.
What can it do in its sophomore frame? And I think that it fell short of the record for second week.
Oh, wow.
It did. I don't think it did. It did. It fell short. It did $145 million, which is incredible for a second week. I mean, that's incredible for a first week. But then to do that in its second week is really impressive and says a lot. But when you're a movie like The Avengers, you get compared to records.
Right.
You know, people want you to break records.
Right.
It did not break a record. And I have a theory about this.
Okay.
You familiar with Occam's Razor?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Are you familiar with it because you saw Contact?
No. No. But also, yes.
That's the only reason why I'm familiar with it. And I quote it all the time. And if I'm trying to pretend that I'm smart, mm-hmm. I don't tell people where I learned about it.
Cat's out of the bag now.
Right. No, these are all friends. This is all good. Plus, people only listen to this and it goes back into the cosmos, right?
Exactly.
This doesn't live on the interweb forever and ever in eternity, right?
No. It's a once and done. It self-destructs immediately afterwards.
Right. That's all I'm saying. So anyway, Occam's Razor says that, all else being equal, the simplest explanation is most likely the truest,
mm-hmm.
right? Something along. I'm sure I just butchered it. Please don't write me to correct me because I have no idea what I'm talking about. But I heard this in Contact, and I've related somehow. It struck a chord with me, and it's been something that I really take some comfort in, and I sort of find there's a truth in there that speaks to me. Okay, so why did Avengers not break the record? And I think the simplest answer is most likely the truest answer. And my theory is because it's over 3 hours long. Mm-hmm. I know it's only 3 hours and 2 minutes, but I think that everybody I talk to says two things about it. I'm sorry. Everybody I talk to who has not seen it says two things about it. Oh, that movie looks amazing. I can't wait. I hear it's awesome. I love Iron Man. I love Thor, blah, blah, blah. The first thing is this unbridled enthusiasm for the franchise. And then the second thing is it really 3 hours? I heard it was like 3 hours long. Is it really 3 hours? How do you sit still for 3 hours? So I'm just saying, I think they lose in a part of the audience. Obviously, I'm not trying to say anything bad about Avengers because everybody who listens to the podcast knows how much I loved it.
Doesn't sound like you did.
it broke all kinds of opening weekend records. Every opening weekend record it broke. It did $145 million in its second weekend. It has nothing but rave reviews. But I'm just trying to offer a theory as to why it did not beat Star Wars on its second week.
Hmm. Well, it's second largest gross all time right now, isn't it?
Yep.
Like right after Avatar, right before Titanic.
Right.
Wow. There's also the fact that everyone went to see it last week.
Yeah.
And one of the things you told me way back when on the Lancast was the way that the movie market differs from regular retail is there's only so many people that are going to go see movies. Right. And I guess when you exhaust that market, you've exhausted the market. So now I think I wouldn't be surprised if third week breaks records because you've got people from the first week took a week off, come back for a second viewing.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
First, let me say two things. First of all, I completely agree. And for those of you who are listening who think that we shouldn't get hung up on this, I agree with you too.
Yeah.
It's kind of like who cares?
Yeah.
You know, but
I mean, we're just talking.
Yeah, but it's just something interesting to talk about.
So. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So moving on to our big movie review of the week, The Long Shot. Now, spoilers from here on out. Or well, I'll put in the time codes.
Spoilers. Listen, if you're listening to this and you're worried about spoilers for Long Shot,
I love
it. You can go home.
But more importantly, now that we're in spoilers, I can tell you a story that has nothing to do with The Long Shot about how I went to the corner store yesterday and this lady recognized me and she's like, oh, so did you see Endgame? Yeah. And I was like, sure. She's like, oh, you helped me so much. When the last one came out, you told, because she's like, I love to know all the spoilers before I see it. You told me about the last one, and that helped me know that I was going to like it. She's like, I've already had this movie spoiled so bad. Now, at this point, the corner store comprises of me and two employees, and this lady is not the one helping me. She's just behind the counter.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, I don't know why you do that to yourself. She's like, oh, it just makes you better. And there's a moment of silence. She goes, I just cannot believe they killed off Tony Stark like that. But I love that Thor is going to be with the Guardians of the Galaxy. And I just looked at the girl checking me out, and I was like, I'm really sorry. And she's like, I haven't seen it yet. Poor girl got spoiled.
Yeah, spoiled by the old lady.
Yeah. So anyway, that was a story I couldn't talk about outside of spoilers.
That girl got spoiled by the old lady. It's better than getting shot in the leg.
It's true.
The old lady strikes again.
Okay, so The Long Shot.
We loved it.
I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was sweet. I don't know if I would say it's like hangover funny where I was laughing all the time. I laughed. And it helped that I was sitting next to a guy who laughed at everything. So I was like, am I off base here in my enjoyment or am I just not hard to please? And I think maybe I'm a little hard to please sometimes. The crowd seemed to like it. I really enjoyed it. I thought the acting was great. Charlize Theron was great. I really liked some of the things they did with the characters, just the way they interacted. Like, she wasn't a total hard ass, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she seemed like a real person,
right?
Like behind the curtains. I thought that was really cool. I don't want to derail everything because I want to know what you thought, but I'm talking now, so calm down.
He says to the guy who's sitting here,
not saying anything,
grinning.
All right, so. I thought this was really cool at the end, and then I thought, wait a second, is this a sexist trope, and am I missing that? So what I really liked at the end is that the person who was not in power didn't have – okay, how do I say this? Normally, it's like someone who's like, I'm at a rock and a hard spot. We have to do A or we can't be together. And then the other person's like, no way I'm going to do that. And then they come around to being like, okay, I'll do that that thing. For instance, in this movie, he had to basically agree to be like a mistress for a while until he – and he does come around and say, I'm willing to do that thing. And I thought that's just the way the movie was going to go. But then the way it turned around is the person in power was like, no, wait, I'm going to change so that they don't have – the person who's not in power doesn't have to. And I was like, I thought that was a kind of a cool twist. And then I thought, well, normally it's the guy who's in power and the woman has to change. But then the woman still had to change in this one. So I don't know. I'm conflicted as to whether or not that I should like what they did there. Is that too deep for you?
No, it's not too deep, but I don't have a clear opinion on that.
Really?
Like, I hear what you're saying. Yeah. It's definitely a little bit of a role reversal. In the trailer, didn't they say it's pre-woman reversed? And then that did not come out in the movie.
They didn't say that in the
movie. That line was not said in the movie. So I get what you're saying, you know, that on the one hand, the woman... But she did not have to change who she was. She just changed how she was going to handle this situation.
Right, yeah.
She did not change herself. She did not compromise what she believed in, or her values or anything like that. She just sort in fact, what she chose not to do
was compromise herself.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I liked the ending a lot. I thought his friend was hilarious.
Yeah.
Every scene with his friend was great. Especially the part where he finds out he's a Republican and a Christian.
Right. That was hilarious.
That was so funny. But yeah, so what did you think of the movie since
I also loved it. And I have to tell you, I was ready. I can't really put my finger on why, but before I saw this movie, there was a part of me that was a little bit over Seth Rogen.
Mm.
I was like a little satiated, you know, with his work. But, you know, I'm a fool for a romantic comedy or really any kind of comedy. I love an R-rated comedy because I love the liberal use of the F-bombs, you know, and that this movie delivered on that count from the opening. From the opening scene, I thought maybe I had put in the wrong movie.
You know, I was like, what is going on here?
Is this a bad action movie we're about to watch? I'm watching the opening scene in this movie where Seth Rogen is undercover at a Nazi rally, a neo-Nazi rally. And I'm literally going through in my head titles of other movies that are in the building that I could have accidentally started. Like, what have I done? But anyway, I love the fact that – so first of all, I thought Seth Rogen was great.
Mm-hmm.
He there was something about it that was sort of why we love him in the first place.
Right.
You know, and perhaps one of the things that was great about his character was – and there was definitely like – pot references and you know that kind of stuff, which is it whatever, but his character wasn't just sort of a flighty little pothead. His character had very insightful, smart opinions and was very much true to himself, you know, and he was very when you say righteous, that feels like it's a bad thing, but you know, he was very committed to his principles and he you know. And his principles were based on some very intelligent, you know, opinions, in my opinion. So I thought that that was sort of refreshing in a way that made his character – brought me to his character in a way that I could sort of embrace it a little bit more. And, of course, Charlize Theron is – or however you say it, Theron is – she was amazing, you know, incredibly talented. I loved – the couple scenes where the two of them were just sort of breaking loose and getting wild, and her in the hat and sunglasses and the windbreaker. The windbreaker was like a whole great little element to the movie. I thought the whole thing was great. And I also thought her little assistant lady had the line of the whole movie when she calls Seth Rogen and says she wants to see you, and then she hangs up the phone and says to nobody, I'm so scared. I thought that was the best line of the whole movie.
That might have been one of the best scenes in the whole movie, because he's like, the Secretary of State wants to see me, and he says it out loud, and his friend just throws like everything in his hands up in the air. I was like, that's something I would do.
I did have a problem.
Okay.
I had one. You're going to hate me for this.
Uh-oh.
I had one tiny problem.
Uh-oh.
Doesn't Seth Rogen's character live in New York? Isn't that?
Yeah.
Okay. So they're at this art gallery thing in New York, cheering himself up, and he meets the Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
That night or the next morning or something, I forget which, the car arrives to pick up Seth Rogen to see the Secretary of State. And you see him get in the car.
And then they're in D.C.
And then he gets out of the car in Washington, D.C. You don't just drive to Washington, D.C. I mean, you got to – that's
like
a leap.
5 hours.
That's a leap. I don't know if it's 5 hours, but it's a –
it could have taken a plane.
My point is he you don't just – if you're going across town, you walk out of your house and you get in a car and you go across town.
Yeah.
They could. If you're going to Washington, D.C., you pack a bag.
Yeah.
You bring a coffee. Mm-hmm. You know. Because
the whole shtick was that he was totally unprepared.
You bring a charger for your phone. Like, you don't just go to D.C.
But to play along that, he just goes to D.C. and then the next scene they're out of the country.
Right.
And he's still wearing the same stuff.
Right, right.
And it's just like, you're not going to let this guy get some clothes?
Right.
Like, come on.
And then she does address that when she's like, do you have any, like, growing up clothes?
Yeah.
No, I thought this movie was great. How about a sequel? I would love to see a sequel. Long shot two, she's running the campaign.
But she's already president at the end.
But the whole thing's re-election, right?
Okay.
Wait, no, she's not president at the end. She's announcing her campaign.
No, 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 no. At the end, when did you get up and walk out?
No, no, you're right. I forgot this.
Like, there's a whole shtick of him being the first mister.
Yes, yes, yes.
And his
no, you're right.
His
I forgot
paintings
that.
By Seth MacFarlane.
Yes, yes. So the sequel can be some other thing. You know, the two of them have to foil a plot. You know?
Right.
Or it could be her re-election.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I liked the way it ended. I would like to see both of them more of it. So, okay.
Now we're getting to the good stuff.
Listener notes.
Of which there are
a lot.
Many, many pages.
We had a lot of people write in, and I want to thank everyone who sent a message to podcast at PennCinema.com.
Everyone?
Well,
I want to thank most of them. Not all.
Not all. Some of them. Yeah, so I took out some of the keynotes of these, because some of them were great, but quite long, a little bit too long to share on air.
Well, Mystery Gibble, the Gibble who shall not be named, he wrote in urging us to incorporate the best time to pee
into our reviews.
In our movie reviews, to which I reply, hey, man, when you got to go, you got to go.
Yeah.
But I do want to say.
And I reply, what are you doing peeing during a movie? You're at a movie. Like, don't get up. Every minute you walk out is bad.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Except I was going to go a little further and say, when I saw Avengers, I stopped drinking at 11 a.m. so that at 6 o'clock when I sat down to watch Avengers, I would not have to pee for 3 hours and 2 minutes.
And you did it.
And that's what you got to do. I mean, if it's a real movie. Now, I will say what's interesting is Long Shot was obviously a good movie because I didn't get up and go at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a solid two-hour movie.
That was a solid two-hour movie.
Anyway, thank you, Mystery Gibble.
And I believe I responded by saying that we were going to have branded Depends available soon.
Depends underwear. Well, we've already had that on the show once, so why stop there?
Why stop there? You've got a pack to hand out.
And little shout out here, by the way.
Oh.
I mean, I'm not saying nothing. I don't know for sure because I don't know who this Mr. Gibble is.
Oh, he's a mystery.
Yeah, he's a Mystery Gibble. But there was a person matching his description seen riding in torrential downpour and hurricane-level winds through the streets of New York City.
This weekend.
This very weekend, on Sunday, blasting up hills.
The Lord's Day.
Yes, the Lord's Day. when he should have been resting. Yeah, so kudos. Kudos to you, sir, for that fine ride.
Too bad nobody was able to recognize him since it's such a mystery.
There's some grainy footages of videos that are out on the dark web. I'll see if I can pull some of those up.
Why don't you cover this next one?
Yeah, I thought this was really great. this I've been given flack before. So I don't just – I'm an easy laugher, but, you know, whatever. I don't
– Yeah.
You know. This email that we got from Becky Woodhouse had me laughing out loud. But what I want to say is I share an office with the director of operations of Penn Cinema, who oversees three operations and has a lot to do.
Right.
I mean, he's got a lot. This guy does grown-up stuff all day long.
Oh.
That's all he does. Or at least that's what he tells me. I don't know what the guy does. But so anyway, so I'm sitting at my desk and I see this email from Becky and I'm over here chuckling. I'm dying, right? And then I'm you know, I'm trying to maintain a little modicum of professional. We're in an office.
Yeah.
We're trying to work.
Well,
we got stuff to do.
Trying.
Right. Put air quotes around the word work and it makes sense. We're trying to work. All of a sudden, I hear over from Drew's desk, he's over here laughing out loud. And I said, what, did you just read that email from Becky? And that's exactly what he's doing. He's like, so thank you, Becky, for having the whole office laughing out loud. Becky had some comments. You know, one was whatever, you know, she felt about the bad dad, the dad bod, Thor. She was glad she didn't make him a total joke. She pointed out that they could have gone the cheap route and had him back into shape while Stark was time traveling.
Yeah.
It's funny because I did not love that plot line. I would have liked Thor to sort of be in shape at the end.
I would have liked when he held both hammers for him to go into shape.
Back to normal.
Yeah.
But I do hear what Becky's saying, and I agree with the fact they did not make it like cheap jokes.
Right.
Like, it's definitely part of some plot line, and it's cool that they sort of went there. The part that she had, can I just read this?
Please do.
Okay.
Yeah.
The part that had us all laughing out loud, I'm going to read here. This is from our good friend Becky. The level of badass womanhood was on tearjerker level for me. In the heat of battle, there was a point at which it was the guys and girls fighting separately. And here's where this is the line of the week. So I'm going to repeat the beginning of the sentence. In the heat of battle, there was a point at which it was the guys and girls fighting separately, like some upside down Mennonite family reunion. An upside down Mennonite family reunion. I love it. So for all our listeners outside of Lancaster County, just whatever. You don't get the joke.
Sure. I thought that was hilarious.
Do we have any listeners outside of Lancaster County?
Yeah, man.
We shout out. I think we have a couple in California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
California. We got
Delaware.
Delaware.
Huntington Valley.
Huntington Valley.
Our boys down in HV.
What?
What's up? So yeah. Becky had us laughing. That was great. In Vancouver?
Yeah, man.
Podcast@penncinema.com. Let us know where you're listening from. But Becky, I really appreciate that email. That was great. And John wrote in from London.
Yeah.
Our friend John saw, he was going to be in London when Avengers came out. So he saw it over there and he saw it in the 4DX. But I think it was his review. I'm going to say how I felt it went, and then you correct me if I'm getting this wrong. I felt like his review went something like this. 4DX was really cool, and there were some things that were really neat about it, but in general it felt like a gimmick.
Right.
And I'm not sure that John was recommending that this should be the way we do movies from now on.
Right. I think he said that, you know, it was neat for an idea, but not for, like, all the time. And he said some of the things were really distracting, which I think we were wondering if it would be. The noise of the chairs moving.
Yeah.
Apparently there's extra flashing lights. The water. And I thought when he was talking about the water squirting on you, I was like, if water got on my glasses in the middle of the movie, I would be pissed.
Yeah.
I'd be so upset. So
there's nothing about the 4DX experience that makes me want to go do that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing in it that makes me want to go see it as a customer, as a moviegoer. And there's nothing about it that makes me want to do it as a theater owner. I can't imagine how many things break.
Oh, my gosh.
The maintenance and upkeep. And then every time you do a movie, some customer comes out and is like, I'm in seat G7 and the mister didn't really mist me. Or I'm in seat G7 and the mister got me right in my eyes. My glasses are dirty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, man.
I don't know. I mean, the only thing that would make me want to do it is straight up curiosity.
Once.
Yeah,
I would not do it with a movie I wanted to see, like Avengers.
Oh, no. Or at least not the first time.
Maybe Godzilla. Okay.
All right.
My boy, Pirate Dave.
Pirate Dave, what's up?
Dave, I have to give you a shout out. I am more and more amazed every week. You are a wealth of knowledge. I really appreciate you writing this in. And for those listeners who don't know, Pirate Dave is a Penn Cinema alumni.
Oh.
One of our almost originals. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dave. Were you here opening day? I don't think you were. But you were here in the early days, that's for sure.
Oh.
Dave was here with 35mm film. He was here in the old days, that's for sure. He's legit. And anyway, so he enlightened us as to the whole phase terminology. And he said it's tripping people up and they should be more clear about it, what it means. It is not necessarily a story arc.
He's referring to the Marvel phases.
Last week I talked about how I don't really understand what the phase. Mm-hmm. David Moulton made some references to the phase. This being the end of the phase, but the end of the phase isn't really until Spider-Man.
Right.
Yeah. And so, Pirate Dave lets us know that it's more about the production schedule than it is the story arc.
And yeah.
How'd the Sony conversation go?
Well, he had a quip about it, and I can't remember what it was, but he basically said that Sony was like, oh, Avengers is going to be big. Put Spider-Man out before people forget about it.
Yeah, I think we're not doing it justice, but Dave, that was good. We all had a good laugh because the phone conversation. Dave spelled out for us the phone conversation between Disney and Sony, and it went something like, hang on a sec. Okay, I got to look this up because this imaginary phone conversation between Disney and Sony, brought to you by our boy Pirate Dave. So the conversation goes something like this. Sony, yo, Homecoming made a bunch of money. Let's get the sequel cooking. Marvel, yeah, but that's not really in our plan. Sony, sequel, money. Phone clicks. End scene.
End scene. That was great. Yeah, I think that's really kind of what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my boy Joel Cornette wrote in.
What up?
What's up, Joel? He said some interesting things here. And having not seen Ant-Man and the Wasp going into Endgame, he said he wasn't that confused. He was able to follow.
Okay. All right, Joel, my man. I know you're legit.
Yeah.
But we sat in front of a guy when we watched Endgame who had not seen Ragnarok, or however you say it.
Oh, that's right.
Right?
I don't understand.
And I rallied the whole row to make fun of this guy. Even strangers that were sitting behind us.
They were like, what?
What? And so, Joel, what? How did you not see Ant-Man and the Wasp?
I don't understand. You have like a year to do it.
Not only is that a Marvel movie, wait a minute. Joel has little kids, right?
No, Joel doesn't have any.
No,
Derek wanted to see Ragnarok.
We gave Derek a pass. Because he had little kids, and I missed some epic franchises because I was, you know, there's a certain period of your life where you just don't get out to the movies, and that's fine. Right. That happens. But Joel,
it's not fine, but yeah.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, come on.
Yeah. Come on, Joel. Anyway.
Or at least don't admit that to people. Just quietly go see it.
Yeah, you didn't have to tell us that.
Keep that shit to yourself.
I wanted to read this section of his email here. Interesting. I guess I'll just keep spoilers rolling through part of this here. He says, I love the scene when Captain America picks up Mjolnir. To me, though, it was about how Captain America has changed. Mm. In Age of Ultron, he tries to pick it up. He has a few problems. He's got secrets. There's part of him that probably loves war. It's wrapped up into his identity of who he is. He hasn't learned to let go, move on. But in Endgame, he's been forced to let go of the people he's lost. He's no longer worried about his identity and who he would be once the fighting is over. And so his own internal doubt has been erased, and this has made him worthy to lift Mjolnir. He said this was a great scene left alone, and he definitely cheered. I had not looked at it in that perspective. I had just thought of, he just didn't pick it up before. But that's a really cool way of thinking it through. So thank you for that, Joel.
I totally agree. And yeah. I take back everything bad I said about you not seeing Ant-Man. No, because I totally agree. That's very insightful.
Yeah.
And it actually adds a lot to my enjoyment of that character. I mean, that's really insightful.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way, so that's cool. Really cool. Mike Maville, our boy, he hit us up. He said he agrees with me and Nebula for the win as a character here, although he agreed with you on which ones he actually liked most, with Tony Stark and I think, what was it, the Hulk that you had said before?
I'm still hung up on For the Win.
For the Win?
What was that?
Oh, man, come on, get with the internets, yo.
The interrupts. Because the reason why is because on our little notes...
It says,
for the production, it says FTW.
Which is the shortening of For the Win.
Which to me means something totally different. And I was like, wait a minute.
Where are we going here?
What's wrong with her? I thought we liked her.
It's For the Win.
Oh, For the Win. Yeah. Okay,
it's
gotcha.
Like, so it was like a slogan on some game show.
Nice.
And then the internet took it
nice.
And made it a thing. So we made fun of Derek. As everyone should. We made fun of Joel, as more people should.
My buddy fell asleep on the car ride home from New York City in a minivan with four guys in it, all the same age, all good friends, and he fell asleep. What's the only thing I could do is take a picture of it and make fun of him.
Make fun of him.
I mean, that's how you know you're loved. Yeah. We tease, we kid.
Right. So Mike had to have teased this guy because he saw Endgame with a guy who had only seen a handful of Marvel movies, like not enough to piece together a cohesive story. He said they were trying to fill him in on the way in, but here's what to take home from this. He loved Endgame so much, he was excited to go back and watch the other.
Awesome.
Which you were wondering, I think both of us are wondering, is this a movie that stands on its own? on its own merits. You were saying best movie ever,
right,
or just best Marvel movie.
Right.
And so apparently, on its own, carries some decent weight.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess with just a moderate knowledge of characters, you could get away with this one.
I thought that was cool. I'm not at all surprised.
Yeah.
Because in addition to being, you know, hype for Marvel fans, I think the movie's a great movie on its own. You know, and so I'm glad to hear that that idea be a little bit validated.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Cool. All right. So outside of the movies, what kind of crazy shenanigans are you watching, you listening to? You know, we went on a big bike ride this weekend.
Yep.
And
yep, we had a big bike ride through New York. That was awesome. So I forgot. I was like counting down the days till Hannah was released on Prime.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it came out, I don't know what I was doing. It must have been around Avengers, but I missed it. And so I'm just now catching up on Hannah. I love this show.
So it's great. Now, did you like the movie too? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought the movie was great. So yeah, I'm really into it. I think it's a little bit, the character is a little bit younger than what I sort of figured, but I think it's a great show. I can't wait to see it develop. I hope that it sort of has enough success that it develops into a thing, and I could really see her character fleshing out over, you know, a season, developing, you know, some other levels.
Now, do you have to watch have seen the movie to
no.
watch them? It's its own thing.
If anything, my only complaint about it is that there's a number of things in the show that are lifted like right out of the movie.
Okay, because it's all lifted from a book, right?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it was a book first.
I don't know. Why would I read a book when they're making a movie out of it?
Are you going to tell me when Dune comes out and you hand it back to me and you go, I never read it. Why would I read it? They made a movie out of it.
It only speaks to my love and respect for you that I'm going to read Dune before it opens.
Wow.
Yes.
Now that's,
yes.
You just, yeah, I mean, I wasn't even saying that you had to do that, but whoa.
Yeah. I read The Godfather.
Uh-huh. That was the last. That was the last non-exercise book you read.
Right, yeah, pretty much. Mark Ponce gave me Watchmen graphic novel.
Okay,
I read that.
Yeah, do you like that?
That counts. I loved
it.
Oh,
it's a great book.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, hey, back to listener feedback. Our boy Joel downstairs.
Yeah,
Mr. Manager.
Yeah,
himself.
Mr. Manager.
Yeah, he stopped me in the hallway and he said, "Hey, I love your laugh, but you got to tell Penn, stop laughing, and give you some room."
Right. Okay. Well, then that means you got to be less funny. That's all.
That's all, man.
All right. I also wanted to mention two other little things.
Yeah,
and
go
these
ahead.
Fall in the category of like comfort watching.
Oh, okay.
Veep.
Okay, I haven't gotten into it.
Oh my God, this show just kills me. Like, this is the funniest thing on TV, in my opinion.
Really?
I just absolutely love it.
She kills in that.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's so funny. And it's like we were talking earlier about F-bombs.
Yeah.
Like if it was a movie, it'd be rated R for language. There's no violence. There's no nudity. There's no nothing. But every character says the most offensive, outrageous things to each other. And you're just screaming, laughing. It's the greatest.
I got to check. It's HBO, right?
Yeah.
Showtime. Yeah.
HBO. And I also want to mention in the category of comfort viewing, Ocean's 11.
Oh.
The original. No, I mean, I know it's not the original. Like, from my
Clooney.
Clooney, Brad Pitt, the first one, Ocean's 11. I love this movie. I love this movie so much.
We ever talk about how those movies are, like, the arc of making of a filmmaker's career? We ever talk about that? I'm going to send you this great video, but and maybe you won't watch it, but this guy, Patrick Williams, breaks down the franchise and how the first movie is the heist is like you do something you don't think it's going to pay off and it pays off, just like the movie. The second movie is like, where do you go after success?
Right.
And it's followed by some kind of failure.
Right.
And then the third movie is like, all right, well, I might as well go back to what I did before.
Right.
Type of thing. Because it worked
and
accepting who you are. It was a really cool breakdown. I'll send you the link.
Ocean's 11 is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
Ocean's 12 and 13 I've seen like once.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, yesterday, I came strolling on down here and watched Batman 89, The Fathom Event. And let me tell you, a bit of an epiphany during this movie. I don't really like it. I mean, it's not a bad movie. It's just like, I'm just like, I don't know. In my mind, Batman Returns was like the movie. And I just kind of forget about it. I don't really care for Jack Nicholson as the Joker. Kind of drives me a little nuts. His motivation is a little crazy. I like Michael Keaton as Batman.
Sure.
I mean, but I don't know. It's not the movie's bad. It's just, I don't know. I was bored.
Yeah. You know, last time I saw this movie?
What?
1989.
There you go. So I think, like, I mean, at the time, I know it was amazing. It, like, broke records and stuff. And it's not a bad movie. It just, I don't think I need to watch it again anytime soon.
Here's the thing. And I think the problems that I currently have with Batman are the same problems that you have with 1989 Batman.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight is just so near to perfect.
Right.
That trilogy.
Yeah.
Is so near to perfect. Like, you're insane if you're going to try to...
Right.
And I understand the financial pressures because there's money to be made. So you have to keep making Batman movies.
Absolutely.
But from a fan's point of view, nothing is ever going to live up to The Dark Knight. And I think my opinion about 1989 Batman would be really different if you asked me like a couple months before the first Dark Knight.
Yeah, I can see that.
Right? And now that I've seen how it could be.
You don't want anything else.
I don't want anything else. Why would I waste my time? I only got so many minutes in a day.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
The other thing I did this week is I took in Ip Man 2, Intellectual Property Man 2. Let me tell you.
It's a legal thriller. courtroom drama.
Let me tell you how dumb I felt when halfway through the movie, I figured out his name and that Ip is his last name and his first name is Man. And that, because you know, in Asia they do the last, and it was, and I know that they called like his family, oh, Mrs. Ip or Mr. Ip, Master Ip, and it wasn't until he was signing something and he was like, Man Ip, and I was like, oh, that it's not like a superhero name like Ip Man. Right. His first name is Man.
It's not Ant Man.
I didn't get it until then. I felt so dumb. I was like, I'm an idiot.
Is this a real movie? Like, is this like something that? It feels to me, tell me I'm wrong, it feels to me like just some obscure little title that you and I stumbled on and like...
These movies are famous, man. They're like big. They're Asian Rocky. That's
Asian Rocky.
The second one, I'm like, this is... It's total Rocky. I mean, it's like, which one did he fight the Russian? Is that two?
Four.
Four.
Are they out... Is it huge outside of Asia? Am I the only one not?
I think it is.
Wow. All right.
I don't think it's huge, like, come to the movie theaters to see it. I think it's like Kung Fu fans really like. The thing that I'm really appreciating about these movies is they're very grounded. Like, it's fanciful over the top, but not that much. And the reason that the people fight is almost never like some big battle or whatever. It's like, oh, you want to teach Kung Fu here? Well, you have to beat the other Kung Fu masters. Yeah. Not like beat them to a pulp, but save just get the them world. To the point where they're like, all right, you're better than me. That's fine.
Gotcha.
Like, and it's the stakes aren't like huge. So I really enjoy it. Now, first one based on a true story. Second one, who knows? And at the end, they introduce Bruce Lee as a 6-year-old boy.
What?
And then he's like, because the guy trained him.
Yeah.
He's like, come back when you're older. And then they went into like the, then he came back and he got trained. So I don't know what 3 is going to be about. Who knows what 4 is going to be about? Yeah. Comes out soon.
4 is going to be about Jackie Chan.
Yeah, obviously. But I had a good time. In the second one, it was like Rocky IV. It's like a foreign guy comes in and like fights a guy, kills him, and then he's like, I will show that we're better than everyone. I mean, that we're respectable and stand up and fight this guy. So anyway, that's that. And of course, Game of Thrones. So
of course.
Yeah.
Because what kind of loser's not watching? Oh, wait.
Wait. Speaking of which, Longshot spoiled some Game of Thrones season 7 stuff.
I missed it. I didn't even see. I didn't
even
notice.
A repeating thing about the dragon dying in it. Like, it came up 3 times.
Didn't one of the dragons die last season? That's what I thought it was.
Yeah. But I mean, like, if you hadn't seen that.
Oh, well, yeah. But if you hadn't seen it, then that's just too bad
for you.
That's
your own fault.
Like, I have rules about spoilers. Like, after a movie's been out, like, I'll respect Endgame.
Yeah.
I may even respect it longer than usual.
Oh.
But typically, I give you, like, two weeks, maybe 3.
Okay.
And after that, like, I'm not worried about, like, you know, if you're going to be sensitive about spoilers, you need to get in and see the movie.
Yeah.
You can't be sensitive about spoilers 9 weeks after the movie opens.
So I heard some pastor worked in Tony's death into his sermon the weekend it came out.
Oh,
and he's
God.
Like, it came out on Thursday. And people were really upset. So
I would agree with the people on that
yeah,
one.
That's a little too
power soon. To the people.
Yeah. So, all right. So what are we doing next week?
Well, next week, I don't know. What do you want to do?
Detective Pikachu.
I thought that was the obvious choice.
I mean,
yeah.
I think we're both a little like curious as to what's going on here.
Are trailers the same as TV commercials?
They show? No. I don't consider them. Like, cause the TV spot's much shorter. And
I was watching the NBA Finals, pieces of it, because mm-hmm. I had a busy weekend. But I watched the end of the Golden State game, the Rockets. And there were a couple commercials for Pikachu that I had never – that had content I had not – seen in any of the trailers.
Interesting content?
Yeah. Made me more interested in seeing it. I might get on YouTube and see if any of those television ads are up there.
So there's nothing that trumps this week. So we're gonna do
No, I'm all in on this. I think this is the one. Yeah.
So next week's Detective Pikachu.
Yeah.
So cool. All right. Well, once again for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.